The cross is one of those things that we should never forget, but we do know this, that Jesus is not on the cross today, amen? You know, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, he's in heaven, he rose from the dead. But nevertheless, there is something that is in Scripture that tells us to remember the cross. You know, to carry our cross is what we're going to look at today, and to me, it ties in two major thoughts that you and I have to process in our mind, and that's journey and destination. Journey and destination. You know, where I am now and where I'm going and how I get there. You know, how do I get to where I feel that God's wanted me to go? You know, no follower of Christ that I know of that has ever been able to see both the starting point and the ending point of their journey. Nobody has. But it's something that you and I, as we go through life, we start to continually, you know, tap into what God's doing in our life. And even though we don't really see the destination, we plod on, right? We keep going. Step after step, following Jesus Christ. You know, some call it blind faith. I don't believe in blind faith. You know, because we have a book to go by, and we have a Holy Spirit that leads us, right? So it's not really blind faith. You know, Jesus never left us here all alone to try to figure it out. And he wants us to be able to know exactly what it is that he wants for our life. Scripture we're going to look at today is in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke 9, verse 23. And Luke said, through the power of the Holy Ghost, he said, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your word and the power that's on it to be able to break any bondage that's on our lives. Lord, we thank you that you want us to have the mind of Christ, and that happens when we allow our mind to be transformed and renewed. Lord, we pray right now for your Spirit to move in each of our lives. Lord, I yield to the gift you've given. I use it for your glory. And Lord, I do pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, I've always said this and I believe this, that you and I are only one event away of life change that will change our life. One event from life change. You know, we carry our cross, we plod on through, and we're going, and we don't know exactly ever where we're going to go, but then all of a sudden, something will come into our life, and then all of a sudden it makes sense, what God has been trying to do in our life. And we long for those events, because we need them to be manifest in our life. Now I'm going to look at this today from the eyes of somebody that was involved in carrying a cross. And it was a very, I'm sure, a traumatic experience here in her life. And we're going to look at through the eyes of Simon the Cyrene, which is modern-day Libya. And what this is, he was a Jew that lived 900 miles away, roughly, from Jerusalem. Jewish men were required to go to celebrate the feasts, you know, every now and then. And in doing so, he had to take a two-week journey just to get to the place that he needed to be to celebrate this feast. And I'm sure on that journey, very excited, probably going to maybe see other friends and family members there, people that he knew, and they're going to go there and celebrate their God. And it was, like I said, it's a two-week passage to get there because he was going to celebrate Passover. Now, Passover was that time where it started in the book of Exodus, where the Jews were in bondage to Egypt. And Egypt was mishandling them. And they cried out to their God, and God decided to step in on the situation. And then through a process of miracles and different things that happened at that time, the last thing was going to be the Passover. And what they did is they had to go and kill a lamb. And they took the blood and they put it across the doorpost and down the sides. And then their family would eat it. And if they didn't, if you was by yourself, you'd maybe join with a neighbor and eat this meal. And then because blood was put on the doorposts, when the death angel came that night, it passed over and would only attach itself to the ones who did not have the blood. And that's why Egypt went through a very hard night. You know what I'm saying? When God showed up in that situation, they've had some bad days, but that was a real bad day because they chose to pick on God's people and it came to a head. So the Jews, every year since, they celebrate that great event of their God showing up in their life to do something great. And that's where Simon was in this when he came in contact with what we're going to talk about here. So first point we're going to look at today is the cost of the cross. You know, Jesus Christ, through his ministry, which was about 3.5 years, give or take, you know, he had been mentioning about the cross. Now, to you and I, we look at that cross right there, and to us, it's a sign of deliverance. It's a sign of freedom, because we know what happened on that cross. Yes, we know it was a bad event. We've watched, you know, some of the movies about it. But to us, when we see the cross, we usually probably don't think bad. We think good, because the cross is something that had an effect on each of our lives being a Christian, because we know that Jesus Christ was the last Passover lamb that needed to be sacrificed. Every year they would sacrifice that lamb, and Jesus Christ came to be the lamb that would take away the sins. And that's what he did on that day. So he had been preaching all along, talking to his closest people, telling them that, hey, you need to take up your cross and follow me. So when we're thinking about that, we think, yeah, that's awesome. But to them, it wasn't awesome, because they had watched what the Romans had done to many, maybe their friends or even family members, because it was the most grotesque and hideous death that could take place, when the Romans crucified somebody. And I'm sure that it challenged the imaginations of all his followers, because I'm sure they could not put two and two together. You know, sometimes in things of God's Word, it's hard to maybe make them connect, but all of a sudden, you know, God will give us the revelation. But I'm sure it was difficult. For you and I, you know, we grew up, you know, there's varying ages here today. So some of you may look at it from different perspectives, but, you know, it's kind of like us saying, you know, if you're an old cowboy guy like watching Westerns, if any man will take up his hangman's noose and follow me, you know, if you guys are Western people. Or maybe he's a little longer down, farther down the ride. Or if anybody takes up the gas chamber and follows me, or take up the firing squad and follow me. Because those things mean different to us. That means death. It's not victory. It's death. And that's kind of what really separated some of his disciples maybe from even, you know, staying with him, because it was a big, big thing. And it's not just a one-time event, because the scripture says, Luke said it, is that he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. Now, most of us has probably, you know, prayed the prayer or whatever, however you came to Christ. You know, you walked up, maybe prayed and did whatever. But here he's telling us it's a daily process. It's something that we have to do because we have this nature inside of us that wants to go against God. Don't take it personally, but you were born that way. And you can't help it. That's the old sin nature due to Adam. And we all struggle with it from time to time. And that's why, you know, many of the people that nailed their sins up on that cross there last Friday night, you know, they're Christians. But Christians still struggle with things from time to time, don't we? We have things that go on in our life that try to hold us back. So it's not a shame to have a problem. The shame is when you won't give your problem to Jesus. That's the problem. So we need to give the problem to Jesus. And we're going to come to that here in a moment. Now, Simon, a little bit about the story. Some of you maybe have read it. He had come there to celebrate Passover. And what the ironic thing is, he came there to celebrate Passover, but he ran into the lamb head on. You know, he didn't have to pack a lamb. The Jews had devised some system. It was a fundraiser for the church. Amen. And what, the, or oh my, I mean on this one. Because what they would do is they would take these lambs and they would be, you know, be inspected, but then they would charge extra. Because who would want to carry a lamb 900 miles to go sacrifice, right? Because that's what they all had to do. They all had to sacrifice a lamb. I mean, have it done, and then they would eat the meat of it and stuff. So, you know, this was quite a deal, but here's Simon. He had went to this event, and he got caught up in the commotion and probably wondered, what is going on here? All these people are yelling and screaming along the street. So he went and probably looked, and he looked down, and, you know, here these people are coming, carrying these crosses. Now, they didn't carry the whole cross like we see. They usually just carried the beam. They would place the beam up on their shoulders. And like I said, you know, it's kind of like dead men walking. I mean, it was a walk to your death. If you were carrying your cross, you know, you might as well, you know, hopefully your affairs are in order, because you're going to die. So they would place these wooden beams on them after they got beat to a pulp, many of them, and then for about a 40-pound beam, and they would walk through the street. And all these passers-by, I mean, how many know mob rule can be cruel, right? So if you're carrying a cross, you're usually been labeled enemy of the state, murderer, whatever the case may be, so that all these people would stand there and they would mock you and they would jest you, they would yell at you, all the while the Roman soldier would maybe be behind you with the whip, whipping you to go on. But who wants to keep going if you're going to die when you get to the end? I mean, you're going to take that trip as long, make that baby last, aren't you? You're going to walk slow, you know, but they're not wanting you to walk slow. They want to get on with it. So they keep pushing you down the road like a bunch of cattle. And, you know, to me, that's insult upon insult when you have to carry your own cross. You know, it'd be bad enough to have to make that journey. And then, you know, when you get there, they're going to nail you to it. But to have to carry it yourself is pretty difficult to have to put in our mind. And what happened along the way, as we read through the story of Jesus' last night here, and he had been up all night, and been through a various serious, you know, series of trials and things like this, and accusations that were all lies. And he had been beaten savagely with, many believe, the cat of nine tails, which had pieces of metal and glass in it, and ever kind of whipped it, you know, made nine lacerations on your body. And when they pulled the whip back, it would rip flesh away. So he'd been through all this process of everything that was going on. And then, after all that was done, he had to go to the destination, which was up on that hill. And that's where they would crucify him. And like I said, he'd been talking about crucifixion all through his ministry. That, you know, that you got to take up your cross, and he said you're going to die. And one time Peter says, oh no, you're not going to die, Lord. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. I know what I'm called to do. I know what I have to do. You know, I know the price that I have to pay, because it has to be paid. And that's what my Father wants. And that's why I came. That's my destination. That's my journey. That is what I have to fulfill. So through that process of time, the love that he had in his heart and the desire that he had inside of him to want to get to that spot up on that hill so he could pay the price for you and I. But his human flesh, the body that he had been put in when he emptied himself of his divine authority and came down as a man, it wore out on him. And that's where Simon comes in. Jesus couldn't make it to the hill on his own. So the Romans picked a guy out of the crowd and said, you, yeah, you, carry that cross. I don't know what that would have felt like. Because we're looking at it from the perspective as a Christian saying, man, that'd be awesome. You know, in a sense. I mean, if you love Jesus a lot, you'd want to do anything for him. But see, Simon wasn't looking at it like that. He really didn't know who Jesus was. He'd probably heard about him a little bit, but he didn't really understand what it is that Jesus Christ came to do. And when that soldier called him out, I'm sure there's a lot of things that went through his mind. Maybe you would have had these excuses. I know, you know, sometimes we come up with them. And maybe he would have said, you know, now's not a good time for me. I just traveled 900 miles to get here, and I just want to relax a little bit. I'm here in Jerusalem seeing friends and family. You know, I don't really have time to carry a cross today. You know, I got stuff going on in my life. I don't want to take up that cross. I don't want to carry that cross. Or maybe another thing might have been, you know, he might have been shocked, you know, as you and I probably would be, for being singled out. You know, there's everybody around. Can you imagine? Have you ever felt like you just got, you know, all these things that could have happened and I got picked? You know, all through life, he probably, you know, growing up, maybe got, you know, have you ever been one of those people that never got picked for anything? You know, they're picking teams. You didn't get picked. You know, they're picking people for jobs. You didn't get picked. Now you get picked. You know, this is your big pick right here. You get to carry the cross. You know, why me? I never get picked for anything. Now, without getting too weird about it, but can you imagine what that cross looked like? You know, I get dirty from time to time, but I don't know about you. I got certain things I probably wouldn't like to get into. You know, Jesus, as I mentioned, just went through that terrible beating where his flesh had been ripped a little bit. Then he had this big beam that probably was a little bit splintery and stuff placed upon him. So when he went down and the cross was on the ground, I'm sure Simon looked down at that 40-pound beam and looked, and he could see the flesh and the blood all over that piece of wood. And now he had to pick it up and pack that the rest of the way. You know, so that had been, you know, some people are gross about stuff like that, right? You know, but that's something that he had to do. Maybe that went through his mind. You know, maybe he was worried about guilt by association. Here, everybody in town was yelling at these guys coming down the street carrying crosses, so evidently that's not a good thing. So now he's going to pack that. So what's everybody going to think? I mean, you know, people down the road about 100 yards, they're not going to know what's happening here. They're not going to know that he just got pulled off the side. They're going to think maybe he's one of them too. Guilt by association if you carry your cross. You know, people's going to maybe look at you in a different way. And he might have been embarrassed. You know, what would everybody think about it if I'm carrying a cross and, you know, making that decision to be a follower of Jesus Christ? You know, what would the friends and family say? We've all maybe been through some of that where, you know, people look at us differently. They treat us differently because we carry a cross. And the last thing probably went in his mind, you know, how about the Romans got confused? You know what I'm saying? You show up at the top of the hill carrying a cross, you know, you might just get crucified. He'd done nothing wrong. He's just helping somebody out, you know. So all these things kind of happen. And then, you know, maybe some of these things we can translate over into our life, because what happens is the impact of carrying the cross, which I look at the idea of the cross of separation. And that's what the cross is for you and I. Those who have maybe, you know, accepted what the cross has done. And there's that impact of carrying the cross. Now, Luke 23:26 says that he carried the cross behind Jesus. So even though he had to carry the cross, he could not lead Jesus. Jesus walked before him. And that's how it's supposed to be for you and I when we take up our cross. To me, the only thing worse than getting so far behind Jesus is to get ahead of Jesus. And sometimes people do that, don't we? We get ahead of him. We presume things. We maybe step out and get into things that we're not supposed to do. Now, many of you maybe wonder whatever happened to Simon. I mean, the scripture doesn't go into it technically in a large way, but it does say that two of his boys were mentioned by Mark in the Gospel of Mark. Rufus and Alexander, they had become Christians just because of that one event that happened to their dad. See, events have consequences. Decisions have consequences. So the fact that, you know, Simon had this great event that happened to him, at the time it looked like a real downer, but it evidently made a big enough impact of everything that he went through and how he probably watched our Lord die. It changed his life. Changed it forever. He became a follower. Now, what I see about it, remember, he lived 900 miles away. He may have never had the opportunity to hear the gospel, living that far away. Now, we know the missionaries went, but how about something happened to him before that happened? Before the church really went out and started spreading the gospel? See, it's an important thing that when an event happens in your life, how you respond. We have to respond to the call. The call that Jesus Christ is putting out to us. We can't put off the call. We can't, you know, say, hey, I believe he was God, but, you know, I just don't know if I can follow him. But he wasn't that way. To me, the obedience of one parent can make an impact for generations to come. The power of being a parent, to be able to make an impact on your children, to be faithful to God yourself, not here, but also at home, will make an impact for generations to come. And that's how we need to see it in our life. The fact that we have to respond and take up our cross daily. It can't be something we just do on Sunday or just whenever we feel like it. But it's got to be a daily walk with Him, and He'll give us the grace, you know, that we need to do it, because we cannot deny it. Now, to me, the cross in my life, when I made that decision, was that point of separation. You know, the day when we, you know, do the BC to AC. Not AC/DC, that's a different deal, right? That's a band. Don't get confused with that, or it's two kinds of electricity. But to me, I see BC and AC, before Christ and after Christ. To me, how I was before Christ is a whole lot different than I was after Christ. Because before Christ, I did not carry my cross. I knew about the cross. I was born, you know, around Christianity. I knew a little bit about it, maybe dabbled in it from time to time. But there was that impact of when I decided to surrender my life to Jesus, that all of a sudden, it was an AC event for me, after the cross. And that's what's important that you and I get to. To me, you know, the old timers say, you just got to kneel at the cross, brother. You just got to kneel at the cross. Well, that's almost there, but it's not quite for me. To me, you got to see yourself up on the cross, that I deserve that death. Jesus paid my price, and I'm going to die to self. I die to self. And that's really what the cross was about. See, to me, the day that we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life is even more important than the day we're born. Because what good is it to be born if you're going to go to hell anyway? That sounds cold, but to me, that's... what good is life? Jesus says, what good is to gain the whole world, but you lose your soul? That just slaps you upside the face. What am I going to do with that? What can I do with that statement? Turn the page? Go back to something funner? You know, back in another part of the Bible? No. We have to look at these things, and we look at them with our eyes and our heart, and we decide, what are we going to do with them statements? How are we going to be a Christian? How are we going to follow Him? So to me, we have to look past the pain and see the promise. Now see, the pain is not sickness and disease. Now many people for years have said, you know, cancer's my cross. You know, high blood pressure's my cross. You know, my children are my cross. Now just kidding, you know, that's not right. That's not right. See, the cross isn't stuff like that. See, the cross is talking about dying to self. And really, that's what it is. Jesus said he wanted that cup to, you know, pass from me. You know, in the flesh part of it, you know, he didn't know if he could go on, but, you know, God was going to get him there. But, you know, we all have that decision to make. Do we die to self, and how we do it? And I'll be honest, it's hard to make this fun. You know what I'm saying? You know, dying to self isn't really fun if you look at it from the outside. But what I see about it being the cross of self-denial. Now, this is a weird way of looking at it. But the only way that we win is by losing. Think about that for a minute. The only way that we win is by losing. And what that's talking about, the only way that we gain our life is to lose our life, is to give our life to Christ, is to surrender our life totally, totally over to Him and let Him have it. And, you know, the thing is, you know, and this is what something I struggled with. Now, maybe some of you never had this problem, but, you know, a lot of misunderstanding of how things really work. And, you know, I remember when I first started to, you know, approach Christianity, where I was seeking, you know what I mean? There has to be the seeking part in our life. You just can't, you know, make somebody a Christian if they don't really want to be. But I'd come to the point in my life that, you know, I'd tried everything else and done all these other things, and I knew that something was missing, so I started to head towards God. You know, I started to get in that process of, you know, finding out really what was truth and what was important and all these things, and I started to head to Him. And, you know, what happened along the way, sometimes in that early stage, you think, well, I gotta quit this, and, you know, and, yeah, I got to quit that, and I got to do this, and, oh, yeah, I got to do that. And before you know it, you look at all these things you have to do. That's really not it. I'm glad somebody explained it to me in a proper way, because I was missing the whole point. It's not about thinking about what you got to give up. You think about what you gain. You gain your life. You gain your life by surrendering to Christ. And the concept and the idea that if I could have changed all this stuff before, I would have done it by now. So it's not about trying to fix yourself. It's about just giving your heart to Jesus and letting Him come into your life. Letting Him take control. Letting Him start to make those changes in your life. And it's a lot easier when He does it because He has the ability. There's some things we just can't fix. And that's just the way it is. But surrender. Dying to self. Giving Jesus Christ control of our life. And as we do that, is that the key is in when we take up that cross and we start to follow. Now, something I wrote in all my Bibles ever since, you know, I can't remember, is that my theme scripture for my life is Galatians 2:20. You know, I give my life to Christ, and, you know, and I die, I live for Him. The life I live, I don't live for me, I live for Him. Galatians 2:20. And, you know, I wrote in all my Bibles, I have no past but the cross. Well, then the other day, you know, God just spoke to me when I woke up. And it's kind of fun, it added to this. And it's, I have no past but the cross and no future but the realm of glory. You know, seeing what the future is. The future that you and I have with Christ. To be able to come to Him. And to be able to live for eternity with Him. And to rule and reign with Him. And to see the great things that He's doing, the life change. But it all starts with that life change event. The event, that time in history of our life, when we come to that point where we decide we want God more than we want anything else. With every head bowed and eye closed now, I'm going to give an opportunity. If you feel that you need to do that, and maybe you've done it. Maybe you've come to that point in your life where you know that you've surrendered to Christ. And that you know that Jesus Christ has taken control and the importance of that event. You know, all Jesus says is you don't have to quit this or quit that. All you have to do is decide you want Him to take control of your life. I don't want to give you that opportunity to do that today. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, and you know that you need to today, I want you to slip up your hand. We want to pray with you and give you that opportunity. Or maybe to come back to Christ. Maybe you're not where you should be, or, you know, where you want to be. And you know that you need to be closer to God. You want to get closer to God. And you'd like to say, yes, I'd like prayer to get close again. I used to be close, but I don't feel close no more. I want to give that opportunity either. First time of rededication. Amen. Hallelujah. All righty. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Hallelujah. If you raise your hand, I want you to slip up here. I want to pray with you today. Amen.